Well, this morning, I've asked someone to share. I'd like to you to hear their story a little bit, and then I'd like us to really, in new measure, stand with them and encourage them. So I'm going to ask Max and Susan to come up. Susan. Susie Q. Susanna Banana. So first of all, I wanted just to say that for those that might not know, these were our neighbors at one time over 20 years ago. Suze was a Christian. Max was a cop. But he was a good cop, and it's a long story, but through Dudley's relationship with Suze, and then David with Adams, Max and I, the family came to Christ, and it's a wonderful story, and they moved to San Clemente, and half the year they're in Washington State, they have property, but they have had quite a journey dealing with medical issues, and those of you that know Suze know her story, but I wanted her to share a little bit, and Max as well, and then bring us current with what's going on. So you have the megaphone.
Okay. So as a reminder, you guys have stood with me since 2004 with my illness and many other things. And I wanted to thank you for all that, because I'm here today because of all of you and God. And Max kind of told me what he wanted to say, and I told him what I wanted to say. And so raise your hands if you want to hear the medical, scientific, gory stuff first. Okay, about 10. Okay. Raise your hand if you want to hear about how God's been speaking to me the last 2 weeks. Okay, good.
She'll leave the other part to me.
Sorry, Max. Okay. You know, I just said that God, you and God, is carrying me through this, and He's done some amazing miracles in my life. He's been so merciful in my life. He's brought me so much joy, even through the trials and the circumstances. It's a balance, I believe, for me. And I asked God, after I found out this news, to just speak to me. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't really care much of the details, because all the details told me is what man was saying, what my circumstance was, and it didn't look pretty. It didn't look good. It was not the news I was hoping for. So now I just need him to speak to me and tell me what he wants, you know, through this. So he gave me a lot of things. While we were celebrating the holidays, I had Christmas decorations over my house. I also had a whole bunch of verses on my window decorating. So it was a balance of two. I took them all down this morning, and I asked God early this morning what he thought was the most important thing that he wanted me to say. And there was just a couple things, because there's no way I was going to go through all that. So one of the verses he gave me is Psalm 37, 3 and 7. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will help you. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. So that in itself is really hard. So every day, he did many times wake me up, spend time with me, and tell me how he was meeting me every day. Sometimes every breath, every minute, I needed him to really get me through. And some days were really good, and some days were not. With that, there was something really important that he said to me. I got it many times through Psalms, and there were some people who were actually telling me how they were speaking, that God was speaking to them, and it would encourage me to move on forward to see how much more he talked to me. I'm in a storm again, and many times people have come to me and said, you know, don't worry, Suze, Jesus is in the boat with you in that storm. And totally believe it. He's made an example of that in the Bible. But one thing in the storms that I've been through life is God may or may not calm the storm around you, but more often, he'll calm the storm within you. And that's mostly what I needed, because I can't figure it out. And so I just asked him, number one, I just need to be calm through this. I need to be patient and just wait on you to act. And within the 2 weeks, he has answered that prayer and just checked off the boxes. There's so many. We asked him, of course, for wisdom direction, and I asked him, I just need you to check off the boxes. I can't figure this out. And he's done that in 2 weeks. I'm down to, at this point, I'm still on my journey, but I'm down to two things, and I feel like I'm moving forward. The other thing that was really important that I think, I thought it was just for me, but after spending time with him, I think he really wants me to share this, and maybe it's something to challenge you in your life today where you are with God. Psalm 38:9 says, this was David, I cried out to you, O Lord, I begged for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die? I asked God the same thing for me. I said, in this lost and dying world, I asked him, how can I praise you if you take me? Can I tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, O Lord. I said, have mercy on me. Can I boast in you? Can I tell of your greatness? All the things I've been telling of you the last almost 15 years. But can I continue to do that? Speak of your praises. Give hope to the lost. Restore their walk within you. And there's so many more. I probably could have sat there and wrote hundreds of reasons why I'm asking this of him. And so I wanted to share that with you because I'm at the point where medically they can say that I'm done. They have not told me that in there. They said we want to try these other things. But I know the alternative if it doesn't work. And I wanted to share with you also the things that every time that you guys prayed for me and were standing with me, I would turn to this verse. And Bill, I did my homework right this time. Bill challenged us this year in a home group to think about all the prayers in the Bible and how it meets you. I think I finally got it. So I wanted to go ahead, because I believe and trust God is going to do whatever he's going to do, because he says to keep asking. He has his promises of healing. And does it mean that we can't still talk to him of the things that we desire? But the prayer that I give back to God when he's come through is in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground. He steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, and hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done, be astounded. They will put their trust in the Lord. I want that prayer again. I'm hoping for that prayer again. I trust and I believe that prayer can happen through God and not through man. And so I'm just asking you again to stand with me in prayer that he would do that, and he would do in his will, but still asking, I'm asking for more life. I have so many reasons to have more life here. I believe I do. It's God's decision.
It's hard not to cry up here, but I think God has met us each and every step over the last 14 and a half years. I remember one of her first prayers was to see her first grandchild. Now we have four. So God has been faithful through the whole thing. He's met us at every turn. He's opened doors, closed doors that need to be closed. And so we're just asking for him, again, to open doors that need to be opened and close the ones that he doesn't want to go through. So I've never met more of a strong woman in my life. But God has been faithful. He's blessed us in the midst of this, like I said, with grandchildren. He's prospered us. And one of the verses that have sustained both of us through this is Jeremiah 29:11, where basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he basically says he's going to prosper you. He's going to and give you hope. And those are the two main things we've been holding on to. And so, in healing also. So we've rested our faith in God and trusted in him for those verses to come true. And they have for the last 14 and a half years, and we have no reason to doubt him now. So his promises and faithfulness are, to us, have been astounding. And like I said, we've been blessed beyond measure. So thank you, guys.
Okay, and you didn't tell him the ugly.
Oh. for those who, there's some people here that are new too. My wife was diagnosed with a rare form of ovarian cancer 14 and a half years ago. And so we've done pretty much holistic, non-holistic, whatever the doctors say. She's been through, you name it, chemo, surgeries, multiple life-threatening surgeries over the last 5 or 6 years. We have to remove large tumors. I mean, several other surgeries she had ago, she lost 50-plus pints of blood. So, you know, your body only holds so much. So she was gone through almost 2.5 of her body's blood. But we had a test done a couple weeks ago, and the cancer spread a little bit. And basically, they've given us a couple options we still have left. Surgery's not an option anymore because of where the tumors are and wrapped around certain veins and stuff. So, but our prayer is just that one of the main things we're hoping for is that it's immune therapy where they take out your T cells and be able to grow them and put them back in your body to have a fight the cancer. So that's a clinical trial right now. It's going on in Maryland, so we're hoping we can get in that, but we're still waiting to see. So,
also going to have a biopsy done and a CT mapping just in case I decide to do more radiation January 7th.
Next Monday.
I've had a biopsy in the past, and it wasn't successful because it's seeded. However, I don't have many choices, and I'm going to do it because it's one of the surgeons who has actually a research team who actually grows rare cancers is offered me to do for me the same. And usually they take fresh tumor, but they need the biopsy to get it out because I'm inoperable. So they're going to grow in a dish and see systemic medicine around the world to see if there's anything that will kill this thing. So I'm asking for prayer for the biopsy, that's safely done, and this, you know, see what doors I guess God's going to open, you know, with this. That's it.
So we just want to thank you guys for standing with us these last 14 and a half years. So.
Would you get up? We'll gather around right here. Wait a minute. How are we going to do this? I'll put you here. All right, out of your seats, up close. As many over there, if you can, if you just want to extend your hands, I'd like them to be surrounded in prayer. Mary, I want you up here, especially Mary Johnson. Just lay your hands on Susan, if you would. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, she's cast her lot with you, as her husband has. Lord, we're at the end of, in some ways, what men can do. And now, unless the Lord is in the land of the living, we would perish. You're the author of life. You're the way, the truth, and the life. All life is from you. There is no life outside of you. And Lord, I pray for her life, the lifeblood in her, the treasure in this earthen vessel. Lord, the earthen vessel is racked with disease, cancer. It's saying, it says, I win. We say, no, in the name of Jesus. Yes. We ask for a creative miracle in her life, Lord, yes, that Lord. The tumors that have raised their ugly head, Lord, the spread that the doctors seem to indicate, Lord, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask for the healing power that comes from the cross. By your stripes, we're healed. Lord, we believe in healing, but we believe in you. You. You've never stopped healing. And Lord, you've healed her before. Lord, her life has been a story of getting to a certain point, and then bad news comes again, and then she fights again, and then good news, and then there's a season of that, and then, Lord, you've made her into a fighter, like her husband said, a warrior. And she's so much a part of us, Lord, like Dorcas, who you raised up, and others, Lord. We pray for Suze. Oh, God, touch her body. Oh, God, heal her body. Oh, God, reverse this trend. Give them wisdom, Lord. I pray they not beat themselves up chasing this rabbit trail or that rabbit trail, but they have the wisdom of Almighty God in every decision they make. May they be surrounded and enwrapped in our prayers and our thoughts, Lord. And we ask you to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we can even think or ask for. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
This world mostly looks at medicine. And I have never seen anyone like Suze that takes all of that and then points her attention on her Lord. And to me, that kind of faith is the kind of faith that God blesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see that faith work again in you, Suze.
Amen. Amen. Actually, the psalm that Suze referenced was—I was going to speak out of that if I speak, but there's a scripture. For his anger, this is in Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. Certainly before we were walking with the Lord, and certainly after, we have made choices and made mistakes. And just as a parent would be angry at a child for doing something that was wrong or belligerent or whatever, it doesn't mean that parent rejects that child. It just means you can be angry and sin not. You can be upset with the choice or what's going on. And so with God, he can be angry with you, but not reject you and not hurt you. It says, his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but the shout of joy comes in the morning. I wanted to, many of you have seen this tape of Cade. This is something that was done recently. Cade has been in our bulletin for 8 years. Cade's been to 6 funerals of peers over those 8 years, Mike and Kate, Mike and Aaron. And Cade's never spoken at our church because I think a prophet's never received in his own country. So, you know what an expert is? It's someone away from home with a clipboard. You know, that's what an expert is, and or a briefcase. Some of you have seen this, probably many of you, but just as a backdrop, 8 years ago, Cade had a severe eye problem, and he was wearing a patch, and Aaron was pregnant with their daughter, Lucy, and Cade started throwing up and having issues. We went to the doctor, and he did a test and said, "Oh my!" And we immediately got an MRI that said he had a tumor. So that was, we went from an eye patch to brain surgery in 12 hours. And he came through that, but he needed a second surgery. And during that surgery, he had a massive stroke. And out of that, we had a 72-hour period of whether he was going to live or die. His brain was swelling, and I was up there. And I don't know, Bo Beardsley had a lot to do with this. I know there was others. That military thing kicked in, that warrior. And there was a prayer meeting here that I think would scare people because that's not how you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to pray this way. Oh, Lord, we thank you. People were on their face crying out to God, and Cade came through that, was in intensive care for 6 weeks. Mike spent 90 days in the hospital with him. He has had to learn to speak again. He's had to learn to walk again. His eyesight, you'll see in the video about that, but he's a real warrior. Cade, you are. Even though you don't share your Cheetos with me, you are a warrior. And he's got a real dry sense of humor like his father. And he walked into church a few weeks ago. All he had on was Yankees stuff, wearing Yankees memorabilia. And I said, "Cade, you're not coming to church advertising for the New York Yankees." I said, "Just because they've won 27 championships." He said, "Soon to be 28. So he has a good sense of humor. So the reason I wanted to give a preface of this, the amount of prayer that has gone into this little boy's life. And Charles Simpson, when he was here before any of the surgeries, it was a Sunday morning, and he had to leave immediately after service. So at the last song, there was no time for prayer for anybody. Aaron and Mike came up and they prayed. And as they prayed, I took Charles to the airport and I came back. I wasn't thinking much of anything. I said, but I saw Aaron and I said, "Hey, how was that time of prayer?" She said, "It was kind of weird." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, he didn't even pray for his eyes." Well, I mean, he said, what did he pray for? He said he prayed for his influence. I said, "Who prays for a 4-year-old's influence?" But that's what he did. And when all of this happened, things started happening. I called Charles. I said, "Do you remember what you prayed?" And he said, "I don't." It was the Holy Spirit. And it's all God, and God's using this for good. So I wanted to say that because in the tape itself, it's not like, praise you, Jesus. But I want you to know the backdrop that everything good that's going on in this video is a result of your prayers and others that have stood with him, and that we are indeed salt and light wherever we go. So can we run that now, Peter?
Mike.
Hey.
Great to see you. How you doing?
All right.
And the light's shut.
Doing good.
Here, come here. Hold on.
Okay.
Here. Someone's caught you. Josh. Alan.
Super Cade, what's up? How you doing, my man?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing real good. I hear you're having a birthday pretty soon, huh?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but we would love to have you up in Buffalo. Come to the game, come talk to the team. If you're down for it, we can do it.
Okay.
Yeah? Is that cool?
Yep.
You know, you guys have had a big impact on me, and I want to thank you for, you know, being an inspiration, and I kind of want my teammates to get that feeling that I had when you got to talk to me, and that's why we want to get you up here.
Thank you.
So no problem. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to a Sabres game on Saturday. We're going to get you in the walkthrough on Friday or Saturday as well. Then obviously the game, we're going to get you on pregame on Sunday, and we're going to give you the whole Buffalo experience. Are you excited?
Yeah.
I'm pumped, I'll tell you that. Well, we will see you this weekend, all right?
Okay, Packer Bears.
All right.
Thank you.
Go Bills.
Okay, go Bills.
Go Bills.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Josh.
Bye, Josh.
That was awesome. Yeah. He was very surprised at that one. That was really cool.
I'm like, who is Josh? And then when you told him it was like John, I'm like, oh.
Right?
Yeah, NFL Bill quarterback just called me on FaceTime. And I'm like, oh, something cool.
Welcome. What do you think about this weather?
Good.
A little different than California, maybe?
Yeah, that was so cool.
Gabe! What's up, buddy?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
How about the snow outside, huh?
When Cade was younger, he had a brain tumor on his optic nerves. He also had a stroke. Had a couple surgeries. Literally learned how to talk, to walk, to read and write again. And goes and tells his story to all these guys, and it really does put things into perspective. You know, he's a battler, he's a warrior, and he's an extremely large inspiration, you know, not just in my life, but, you know, anybody that really hears his story can actually take something away from him.
Help me welcome Cade up here.
Hi, my name's Cade. I'm 12 years old. I'm a NIGU kid. When I was 5 years old, the doctors discovered a brain tumor. It was right behind my eyes. During the surgery, I had suffered a massive stroke. I lost all of my speech and I couldn't move my right side. Doctor said I could get better, but it would take a lot of work.
Think you can do it?
Towards the
You're not even
there?
Six. Uh-huh. You think you could do it?
Yeah.
I think you can.
He continues to surprise me with his goals and has a lot of grit.
You know, every day, just first thing Kate asks in the morning is, what do I have today? You know, what order is
it's full schedule. Schedule. Full it's schedule.
Therapies. Yeah. Yeah, so, and then he goes and he does it.
Just like you, I work out. But I'm not working out to play in a football game. I'm working out to get better. The brain tumor also affected my vision. Cover up your left eye, and then half out of your right. That's what I can see. So when I give speeches, I do pictures, and it triggers the words and makes them flow better.
If you were on the other side, you think he's reading. And then when I show people what he's looking at, they're blown away that that's what he's doing.
Even though my vision isn't the greatest, I overcome a lot of stuff. I love to play football with my friends. I love to play football with my dad. Because of the stroke, I can only play football with one hand. But that doesn't stop me from playing the game I love.
It's just daily for 8 years just to get better. You know, I just think it inspires people. You know, here's this kid who can't use his right hand, you know, has speech issues and is dealing with a brain tumor. And there he is throwing the football, catching it with one hand and giving it his all and doing everything he can with what he has and loving every minute of it.
Hello, buddy.
How you doing?
Good.
You want to throw the ball around a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah?
for me to actually know a guy like Super Cade, it makes me put things in perspective, and it, you know, makes me play with a little extra sense of passion and for someone.
What do you call that one right there?
Dime.
Dime.
I just met Josh today in person, and I already love him. I just wanted to give him a big bear hug for what he's done for our family.
I'm so pumped that you're here.
It's like a friendship. He sees Cade as the man he is
going
to be.
Going down, or we're going to keep going?
You know, he doesn't treat him like an injured, sick kid. It blesses us more than Josh probably even knows.
Can you read what that says? Right here.
Oh, yeah, Zamboni rides.
You're going to be on the Zamboni, that's right.
As a mom, I will be cheering for Josh forever. I think he's amazing.
You got any brothers and sisters?
I want a little sister.
Little sister?
Yeah.
How old is she?
Seven.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hit this button.
Uh-huh.
And hit, say, 56 goalposts.
56 goalposts.
Well, Cade's so cute in these moments. I see him take it in, and he's processing. He said, "This is so awesome.
This is awesome. This is awesome. This is the best thing."
You know, Cade had a stroke, and it affected his entire right side of his body and his face as well.
72 fence? Or 72 fence.
And so if he smiles, you know, you could see a little bit of the effect of the stroke.
Attack.
You know, but
come on, let's get these guys going.
When it's from the heart, when it's a real, authentic smile, it's ear-to-ear symmetrical, and he had a lot of those amazing smiles that you knew he was appreciating every moment of this.
Appreciate it, Cade.
Okay, come on up, break us down,
okay?
Here we go.
Hey.
Ready?
One, two, three,
go! The hospital was superhero school, that's what we called it.
You didn't have a brain tumor, you had kryptonite. You know, so kryptonite, we got to get it out with your superhero juice. And so it just, you know, Super Cade gave him that, this is who you are.
And it just stuck.
Super Cade needs a super cape.
Oh. That's so cool.
Here we go. Boom, done.
For me to see him smile like that and take it in, I feel like it's a reward for him for all his perseverance. It just blesses me so much.
Cade owns his story. This is not a bad thing that happened to him.
Now I love to tell my story whenever I can. I hope my story helps people to NIGU. NIGU stands for Never Ever Give Up.
That's why I wear this Never Ever Give Up bracelet. Obviously, it's a foundation that helps, you know, kids with similar situations to his.
You have no idea, too. Like, I legit don't ever take a selfie, and I wear it for one reason. That's for that little thing right there. So,
I know that that means that it meant more to Josh than it's not just a bracelet. It's a story, and he's carrying that story with him.
Football will bring you amazing opportunities. You'll have opportunities to score touchdowns. You'll have opportunities to win championships. But every single one of you has the opportunity to inspire. You can make a difference in somebody's life, someone like me. So when you give me a high five, or a fist bump, or even a pat on the back, helps me to know that I'm not alone.
When you meet people like this that get it, you know, and that see the big picture, you follow them, you know, and you cheer for them. You know, Cade will always be a Buffalo Bills fan. How could, and we will always be Buffalo Bills fans, and we'll always be Josh Allen fans.
I'm going to be a Bills fan for the rest of my life, and a Josh Allen fan.
I didn't know what to expect when we came to Buffalo, but I have been blown away. I've said so many times, I think I want to move here. I found everyone to be so kind and gracious, and we felt like we were invited into a family, not just here for a visit. So I felt everyone had that genuine, kind heart and really wanted to make sure we felt welcomed, and it was really humbling. It was amazing.
I would look up and see the Bills logo.
You're gonna cry.
I would look at the Bills logo like, how do we get here? Like, how did this happen? Like, where we were 8 years ago, where he couldn't speak at all. You know, now he's standing in front of the entire Buffalo Bills organization sharing his story. It's just one of those amazing, unbelievable moments.
Thank you.
Kate.
Ready.
So this is spur of the moment. You guys, either one of you could say something.
not moving to Buffalo. You know, everything Kevin shared before, you know, we're not here without the prayers. You know, we truly believe that that Tuesday night we were in the hospital, that his life was saved that night by the prayers of the people in this room. And you know, this has been a journey, a marathon, year and a half of chemo, and he now gets injections every night for growth hormones and things. We have an MRI today, so please be praying for that. This is going to be the first MRI that he's had since he has started taking growth hormones. So, you know, there's obviously a concern with growth hormones and a remnant of a tumor in there. So we're praying that it has no effect on that, and he just continues to grow. How tall do you want to be, kid?
6'7".
There it is. That's it.
Okay. Okay, come here. Stand right down here. Aaron, come up here. Let's do it again. I want to gather around. Yep, you got to get out of your seat twice in one church service. I'd like your Uncle Matt to pray for the family. And Kate, all these people around you, it'd be impossible to thank them for the prayers and what you've been carried on the wings of others from the very day that all this happened. And even though it's not always like we're saying the Lord did this and the Lord did that, it absolutely is the Lord who's given you life and protected your life. And this influence that you've had that you didn't ask for, it's something that he just called you to do. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that you're being obedient to it with your parents. Because through your life, you have blessed many people. In the midst of not being able to do certain things other people can, you've been able to do more than other people would really hope to. So, Matt, if you would pray, I will agree.
Charles spoke a couple weeks ago, and he said he, before he prays, that he would take a second to ask himself, what kind of mind is he dealing with? And Lord, as we come together, you said where two or more are gathered, you are there. Lord, we take you at your word. You are here. You created the universe. You knew Cade before the foundations of the earth. You know that this generation needed Cade. And this generation needed this opportunity with Cade. Lord, you are good and you are faithful, and all things work together for good in you. Lord, I want to just start by thanking you for saving Cade's life. It was in the same room that we came before you and asked not your will, or not our will, but your will, and your will was to save his life. And we know that once you've made your mind up, it doesn't change, Lord, that your promises are your promises. Lord, and I ask that you would be with Cade, that you would be with him right now, that he would always be dealing with you, that he's not dealing with his circumstances, that he's not dealing with his health challenges or the opportunities he gets because of these health challenges. Lord, I pray that the relationship with you would always come first. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would flood him, that you would pour gasoline on the influence he's already had. Lord, he's an expression through his parents of love, and we know that through that love, that agape love that through the Bills organization and all these teams and people he's talked to, that sets the table for your truth. Lord, and he has been an absolute bridge of love to so many people. Lord, I ask that those seeds that have been sown nationally and internationally, is if people have just been so fascinated with not only Cade's story, but how Mike and Aaron have been able to not only just stay together, but actually thrive in this environment. It defies all statistics. Lord, I pray that seeds of truth would now come down and be sown into the people that that he has touched through his story. Lord, I pray that this MRI would show no movement, no growth in the tumor. Lord, and I pray that you would make Cade 6'7". Lord, and I still come to you for a complete and total healing. We never are going to give up on that. People would not know what to do with that story. It would baffle people's minds. It has been so published about his challenges, Lord. So we come together today to ask for more. For more than just a good MRI, but Lord, we ask for a complete and total healing. We ask for a restoration in his arm, in his eyesight.
Yes, Lord.
A complete and total healing, Lord. We thank you for what you've done so far, but you told us to ask. You said if we have faith of a mustard seed, we could move mountains. And collectively in this room, we have a mustard seed. And we're asking you to move a mountain, Lord. Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would touch Cade's body, his flesh, his extremities, his optic nerves, his hand, his arm, so that you would be glorified. Lord, we thank you for this body, and we thank you for the uniqueness of this body, that we could do this, that a church service could feel like a church service. Lord, we just thank you that you are in our midst, and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Bill, will you help me? I'm sorry, I can't handle any more testimonies. I know some of you, if you've got something that you came and you could talk to me afterwards, we'll make time for it at appropriate time. I think sometimes when you're dealing with these two situations, it's just kind of a selah. Just kind of just sit back and relax. Nothing more needs to be said. You know, what we're doing here, he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And I said that over 2,000 years ago at a meal with the disciples. It was Passover, so they had gone and got a Passover lamb to have at the meal with Jesus. And nobody at that dinner realized that the Passover lamb was Jesus himself. He was the lamb that you were going to eat that night, in that sense. And it was common for all Hebrews to gather on the Sabbath and to have the Sabbath meal and go through a Seder type like meal. And he had finished the meal, and then he took the bread and he looked around, he picked it up and he broke it, and he looked at the disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. It's given to you." And he said to eat all of it. And then he took the cup in the same way, and he said, "This is the cup, the blood of the new covenant, given for you for the remission of sins." If you go back to the Old Testament, go into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'll find that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so in the Old Testament, you had The brazen altar would be here, and the priest would take a lamb or whatever the particular sacrifice was, kill the animal, and the blood would be sprinkled on the altar. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Life is in the blood. And it was a foreshadowing of coming up to the time when John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It was a foreshadowing. And then, so they're all, and the disciples don't know what's going on about this. Jesus, during that meal, Jesus had earlier had put a towel around his waist. By the way, this is God. And he got down on his knees and he started washing the feet of those disciples who didn't know what was going on. And Peter, of course, he got to Peter and Peter said, "No, no, no, don't ever wash my feet." You know when your pride kicks in, mine does, all of us, sometimes you say, "No, I don't, I can't." He said, "Well, if you don't receive this, then you can have no part of me." And then Peter said, "Well, then pour it all on top of me." That's Peter, I love Peter. And he says, "No, you don't need that, Peter. You're clean, but your feet get dirty. If you've received Christ, you're redeemed. If you've asked him into your life and you have by faith received him and his grace has operated, then you are saved from the wrath to come. But as a Christian, Jesus knew that we're not perfect and our feet get dirty along the way. And so communion is where we come together and we take a look at ourselves again. The bad temper, the self-absorption, the blame shifting, the whatever else is weighing on you, the table is a place where we can confess and are forgiven. The table brings us back to doing all things in remembrance of him. I felt particularly moved this morning because as Susan was talking, it brought to mind 20 years of remembrance, how we got here. Talking about Cade, the 8 years and the years before that, and it's a remembrance, and how you got here in God, the times that your life could have ended, the times when you didn't want to be married anymore, the times that you just were going through the most deep things of your life. He brings us back to the table, brings us back to the covenant. Marriage is like Christ in the church. So the covenant of our marriage holds us, and the Lord will never leave us or forsake us.